Probably the most difficult shaila which comes up in the Negeiah of Shatronis is deciding who the Shatron really is. A Bokshan is not an area where usually there's a tremendous fight, not something that usually comes to Bezdin, but it's an area which most people realize that there is a shaila, and very often people who probably had multiple kids in Shidduchim, at least one of the cases, one of their children when they got married, there's probably more than one Shatron involved. One person suggested it, another person read it. Because very often there's a lot of people involved within a Shidduch. And one of the difficult shaylos that come up is who to actually give the Shatron. We dealt with what the Shatron, how often is it to pay him. We dealt with how much maybe should get paid. But the difficulty in Shatronis usually lies in who is actually considered the Shatron. And usually in halacha there's usually three main sort of phases that are recognized in halacha. There's a master, someone who brought about the shidduch, he gave an idea for the shidduch. In earlier Pesukim, there's a discussion that for someone to be a master, it was not enough that he just suggested the idea, he actually had to sort of convince somehow the person that they were either dealt with the master, they dealt with the money, the masham brings such a task. Hayyam, I believe the minhag is that a master is enough just for the suggestion, he doesn't have to do more than that. And that's the chance of the master. Then there's the emtzei, someone who sort of bridged the gap between the two sides, who didn't suggest the idea. There was some point along the way which there was needed help from the outside person to help out to bring the sides together, known as the emtzei. And then there's a government, one who actually ended up steering away to Shidduch, and he got the people engaged, or according to Ramah, there was a minute sometimes he had to get them to get married. So there were three terms that I walk over, which we concentrate on. There's a master, there's an emtzei, and there's a government. Let's take a case, sort of a typical case. We'll see that more than 10 people might have a claim to get shatronis. And so again, something to the fairly common case. Let's take it like this. Reuben and Shimon were both friends. They had a friend by the name of Levi, who wasn't engaged yet. They both got together and said, you know, we really have to help him out. He's already getting older. Let's find the shidduch for him. So they go home that night, they ask their wife who would be a good shidduch for them. One of the wives came up with an idea. Reuven's wife came up with an idea. He mentions it to Shimon. Shimon asked his wife. They think it's a good idea. So they decided that Shimon's mother was friends with the boy's side, and she should go ahead and read the shidduch. She goes ahead. She calls up to the father of the boy. He tells him, you know, have this in the shidduch. So, you know, it's interesting. Many people have already mentioned the name to me. And we thought it wasn't such a good shidduch, being that exactly you're a friend, you know, maybe it means more, we're going to look into it again. Start looking into it, they call a neighbor, they got some information, which they felt maybe wasn't to the path for their daughter. And this neighbor goes and does a lot of work to show them that it's not true. And then finally, after the neighbor's convincing, they decide they want to go ahead with the shidduch. But they say, you know, usually, you know, your family friend, but like dealing with a more of a professional shatron, yeah, professional shatron take over from this point on. Now, if you're listening closely so far, there's seven people that are entitled to shatronis, that have a legitimate claim to shatronis. We'll get to them in the numerous the seven, but this is a really common case of one person. So there's seven people so far which have a market claim, and in certain instances, all seven of them would have to be divided so far by seven people. But let's just, I don't want to make it too complicated, we'll continue a little further. And they start with the professional shatron studying the shidduch. And after the fourth or fifth day, the girl decides, she's not sure if it's her. Not sure, she wants to put the shidduch on hold. So she called the shatron and puts it on hold. Her friends thought that this was a great shidduch for her and very upset how, you know, she's on an Irish hack and she's putting it on hold. She goes ahead and calls her teacher, the machanechas, and says, listen, this is, you know, she put it on hold because of this, can you convince her out of it? And she puts in a lot of time and effort, she convinces her that it's really good for her, she gets involved to the point, and this happens often, that she calls back to her husband's parents, but she gets involved in a more of a not only as an advisor role, but she starts actively involved with all the parties and convinces them that the problem which they thought might be a problem is not a problem. Fine, they decide they want to go ahead further with it, they already burnt out of the first shatron, they call another shatron, and he finishes it off from that point. Okay, now up to 11 people who have a claim for shatronis. Let's go through one by one. Again, it's not a case which is a outlandish, totally outlandish case that there should be people that some authority that happened. And there are other people that I believe in this case have sort of, depending on certain factors, have a legitimate case. The Shatronis will go through each 11 of the Shailas, and then we'll try to bring out what the law is. The first question is that someone mentions a name. In this case, they were mentioned that when the person called, who actually got the Shidduch off the ground, they said that the name was already read up. So the first, the call is the Yeshiva, is what to do when a name was read to a party. And at that point, they were interested in pursuing the Shidduch. And at a later point, someone else comes, he's a better salesman, he has more credibility by them. In this case, he was a friend, so he automatically gets credibility. So what happens when someone gives a name, as we mentioned, the maskil, the concept of a maskil, and a maskil is hayoim, just for the nafkahayoim, that the name should be given over, that the nafkahayoim to be entitled to a shakonis. So what happens when someone gives a name and was not acted upon based solely on that person's recommendation, and someone else got involved, and that because of the second person's involvement, the person ended up following that recommendation. So how do we evaluate that? Is the first person who mentioned it a maskil, or since it needed a second person in order for them to actually give a yes, is the second person a maskil? Do we split it? How do we down such a case? Now in this case, it was one person read it to the chasam side, and a different person had read it first to the kala side. So how do we look at that? Do we split the maskil? Do we split it evenly? Or do we each person take from their side? Each person takes from the other one's side, which will seem super emotional, so it should really be flipped over. The person who read it to the Kala side should get from the Kala side, the person who read it to the Kala side should get. What did they split it? Did they split it evenly? And the second question is, what happens when there's multiple Matzilim, let's say even that they were entitled to, each one read it, and they were the impetus as to why they should actually go out. So how do we split when you have two Matzilim? The third question that we'll deal with is what happens if someone read it, they weren't fully convinced that they should go out, and along the way, more and more people read the same name, and because they're getting more and more people reading the name, they actually decide to go ahead with the shidduch. Do they have a claim that the other shatronim who sort of read the name, after those already a maskil who they came to, were toying with the idea, they weren't sure if they want to go ahead and do it. But because more and more people are reading the name, and there was more and more of a task for them to look into this more and more, they also have sort of a claim to get shatronim. The fourth person, in this case, also would be, what happens when someone gives an idea to someone else? The CFM in time, this is very common with friends. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to register. This is a difficult thing. They're younger. If one friend mentions it to another friend, and his mother then read it, so we have a Shiloh friend number one, he considers a chatter. He ultimately, it was his idea, right, that it was the case. Mentioned he was the one who came up with the idea, and other people acted upon his idea. He considers a chatter in the fact that people acted upon his idea. But we say, no, since he didn't act upon the idea, like bringing it to the side, he only gave it over to someone else, and that person went and read it to the parents, such an idea maybe is something you don't go ahead and pay for. And it could be that even if you don't go ahead and pay for it, but it's the second friend who told his mother to go ahead and read it, so maybe the mother should be required to give a part of her shatronus to her son who gave her the idea. So now, the fifth question would be, is what happens when you have someone gave an idea to someone else? So first of all, do the parents have to go ahead and pay for that idea? Or even if you want to say that they don't have to pay for some reason, would the shatron be required to go ahead and to give a part of what they gained, so they got the idea from someone else, so maybe he's a maskil on the shatron, he gave the idea to the shatron, so the shatron would have to share whatever he gets from them in order to get the funds. The seventh question would be, if a neighbor, now a typical case where someone calls up information, very often as I heard, and the guy comes in, oh, you know, I'm just going to call shatron, they ask me for information. That's a very cautious thing, that is not true. Just giving information, if someone calls me to ask me for information, that's not a shatron. But there could sometimes be a neighbor who sort of takes over a role as a quasi-shatron. That means, you come on and ask me for information, and I tell you information, but you don't accept my information. And the neighbor then goes and does independent research and calls back and sort of tests along the way that you should really go ahead with the shidduch. I really think it's a good idea. So while it wasn't their initial idea, they didn't think of the idea, but without their involvement to the point that they're sort of taking over and pestering and convincing the parents that they should go ahead with the shidduch, it could be the shidduch wouldn't have happened. So in such a case, where there's a friend or a neighbor or someone who got involved pushing along the process, so maybe they might have a child and tell you, they might have a time over here that they sort of worried about the shidduch, and without their involvement, they might not have gotten it. Then we have the eighth question is, what would be between the professional staff in this case who got involved, actually didn't, wasn't a mafril, and it wasn't a government. So someone also came up with the idea. The parents decided to go ahead and to use this professional shatan. So, and at the end, the professional shatan's idea didn't work. He didn't bring it with the Gemara. He didn't bring it because it sort of broke up, and they brought in a third person to finish it off. So when you have a shatan who is an tzai, who's sort of in the middle, who wasn't a master, wasn't a gamer, is he entitled to get shatanas? And that's the question of what the minig hayom is. Does an tzai, so someone who's in the middle, entitled to get shatanas? And if yes, what percentage of shatanas should he get? The ninth person over here would be the mechaneses, and she puts in hours and hours. Sometimes people think it's not a... It's not oh, yeah, I forgot, you're right. She is a someplace, but yeah. The friend who brought in, there would be the similar question to the neighbor, all lumped into that person, so she's quasi like an employee, sort of restarting the shidduch, and pushing it along. And then I guess the tenth of the Mechaneches, and the 11th one would be the person who actually brought the Rebbe Gemara, who came at the last minute, probably didn't in this case do the least amount of work, after everyone's involved, the last few days went smoothly, and they got engaged. So what percentage would they be entitled to? Again, so all these questions are about one story with a lot of different questions. Each one of these questions are really separate halachic questions, and I'll try to deal with them one by one as to what exactly is actually considered a shatan. And my good at this case was just to show you that it's sort of a common case. There could be 11 people who have a legitimate halachic claim, and if the sheikh of each one is 11, they would actually entitle them to get shatanas based on how you portrayed exactly what this person did. Yes, there should be no reason why if a person is doing a job for you based on the assumption that they're getting paid, and all of a sudden you tell them, oh, by the way, if someone else who has a job before you, yes, there would be a very disappointing by not telling them that there's a shop involved, there might be entitled to payment, because they're sort of, it's like a worker that I'm not going to be paying in full. I'm basically fooling them if they're doing a job for me, not fooling them, but if they're doing a job for me without getting properly compensated, they should be aware of that before. He might get something, he's not going to get it. He thinks he's the shatan is reading it first, and really he's be dividing the shatanas with a bunch of other people. So now, really we have to break the shaiva, all these 11 questions, into two questions. The first question is, and we're going to deal with this week more, is how to divide when there's a shatanas payment. How much is each person entitled to? How to deal with their actual payment? There's another question, and this is equally important, if not more important, that what happens in such a situation, what's the proper thing for me to do? The first person got it to me, the second person pushed me, and would have I gone with the first one, should I go with the second one? Should I take over? Should I bring someone else in as a proper? I don't think that things are going well. At what point am I allowed to bring in another shatan, which we'll deal with more extensively next week? So what's the halacha? We'll see that this depends a lot. If it's a year, a trial is different to the Shiva Shagosh, and maybe you could do about this. But what's the proper thing for someone to do when he wants to, someone's already involved in a shidduch, bringing in another shatan, or if one gives the idea, and I do like the person, or someone else did more of it, did more, someone asked me something this week, he was involved in a shidduch where I think he got someone told him the wrong halacha. He's the person, number one, read the shidduch, and they decided it's not for them. Person number two came independently, shatan number two, and read the shidduch, and spent hours convincing them that this shidduch is a good shidduch for them. And they said, they called their rov and said that they should go back to the first shatan because he was the one who started it. In this case, okay, well, Michael spoke to the rov and it was a mistake. He didn't tell him the shayla accurately. But here's a typical case, but it is something we should be asked. I mean, when you have multiple shatanim involved, who looks the proper thing for a person to go ahead and to who should the person be using as a shatan? Again, we'll deal with that much more next week. But before we start, this will be Makdim, Dov Shulchan says, Kesherobne Meshachonim, Engdiz Adinim Kavur. People are not going to be too happy to have, they're looking for the bottom line. So Dov Shulchan says, Engdiz Adinim Kavur, the Kavur, and we'll wait until the Derech Kavur, Yashchim Yiz, Dinim Kavur, Ben Yonim Evu, והדיונים ומר אליה, ואבל נקריא פעמים שזה בצדק, שזה יש בצדק based on their field, but it's very hard to actually to pin down and to give a clarity in halacha when there's multiple people involved as who actually is going to be entitled to the shakonis. It's very hard to pin down who's the neck of the maskel, who's the gamer. And today we're going to try to give the basic hagdolas, but very often we're not going to come up with a clarity as to who actually is the shatan and how much each percentage each one should be entitled to. Now before we go into open another hagdolah, I believe we mentioned this last week, just I'm not sure, so we'll have it over. When we say that there are shatan, when there are multiple shatan about, this case it might be up to 11 people. So do I have to take each shatan based as a shatan? Now the rant is about the net. There's only one amount of it, there's one price of being a shatan. As a broker, there's one set amount that the broker is entitled to. And that gets divided amongst all the shatanim. So if I have three people who are claiming that they are maskilim, and not the halachim who are honored as a maskil, maybe they divide it to that share amongst the maskil part. If there is usually only one gaimer, but it's, I mean, there's two gaimers, people working on different sides, whatever it might be, ultimately a parent's responsibility or the children's responsibility to pay for a shatan is only one amount. There's one amount that they owe, and the whole shayla over here that we're going to deal with is how to divide the amount which is due amongst the shatan. But there's never a concept of paying more than 100% shatan. I mean, there's a max for how much they pay, and the question that we're dealing with is how to divide that amongst the multiple shatanim, but not that each shatan sort of has a claim and has to pay each shatan, has to pay this. If one shatan is going to get paid fully, then there's no room for someone else. So it has to be that it comes forth one shatan fee that the other person fee. So that is part of the shatan. We're going to deal with next week about it. Being a new shatan, is it a year? Is it a chazal? Is it a year? She's a proper. Maybe I think she's not good. Ultimately, it's my worker. I'm not happy with my worker. I can fire them. When can I fire a worker? When can I fire a worker? And it's not. There is one of the negligence that will have to deal with it, bringing in someone else. And she's have to take it away from someone else. Because ultimately, you will be taken away from someone.
How much each one of the 11 people should get. But I'm sure that you have lined up that this one principle that chapter number 3 should get
$400,000. Right, like I said, correct. And I'll tell you the key further. Sometimes it's right. It's right, correct. But now, when we say that the amount, this is just a second example, we don't take necessarily the amount of money and say this is divisible amongst all the shatan. It could be that it's not an equal amount of money. Let me explain this. Now, this can discuss a shot like this. Let's say, shatan number one, I needed a shiva for my daughter, and I tell him, I'm going to give you $5,000 if you complete the shiva. So, he tries to ready the shiva, and for some reason, it wasn't going with him, and I switched to shatan number two, to go ahead and to continue that shiva. The shatan number two is raised for much, not $5,000. The going rate for shatan number two is $2,000. That's what I'm saying. It could be his name. It could be his rate. I went to a family friend. Family, the person was a professional shatan, and he made a deal with me to give $5,000 above, $10,000 above the going rate. So the Baruch Lutzen says, at the Yisrim Chaveret, Shalav, the Shul Bo'ed Echad, the Shalav is the Goyman. The second shatan was a Goyman. He's not the person with the Baruch Lutzen. She'in L'Shem at the Sacharach. So I promised to the first shatan a large amount of money. So he gets maybe a maskil there, like a third of that money. But the thing is, I have to pay the second one based on those rates, and I've made up with him that rate. So when we say that it's divisible amongst the shatanim, we have to sort of break up. There's a maskil and three gaimers, each one within his bound. And it could be that one maskil is a professional shatan, and the second maskil is not a professional shatan, so he's entitled to a sixth of what the normal rate is, and he'll be entitled to a sixth of what the rate goes. I mean, even though it's divisible amongst, within each category, amongst the rates, it could be that each one, we're not going to divide each table equally amongst the middle, because a professional gets one rate and a non-professional gets another. So that's where, again, the equation over here is almost impossible to figure out. I think you understand what Rav Shulchan says, that sometimes he has to play that to be kaveya, to do what it is. Now, very often, even though someone is not entitled to have what we to be a shatan, people feel, no, I should be giving him something, he's involved in the shatan, which is a proper thought. But that doesn't go into the equation of being Menea from how much the shatan is really entitled to. It's a nice thing, and you all have a kodesh atzeri, then you should be paying certain people for being involved with the shidduch. But those people will not go into the equation as to taking off from what the shatan is entitled to get. Now, another nekuda, before we go into the actual halacha of how much the maskil gets, is the place to discuss what happens if I have a maskil without a gaimer. And if you have someone who started the shidduch, and he didn't actually, there was no one else involved in the shidduch to bring the day going. A typical case of this would be where parents thought of an idea, and they go over to Shas and forget it. But the parents of both sides are actually very good friends. They don't want to go over to the person who wants to give, you know, the shidduch thing for your daughter. But once the shidduch was already read, and both sides said yes, the parents between themselves could take care of it. So you have a case where you have a maskil without agreement. The discussion in the podium that maybe since the maskil here was where someone came up with the idea and read it to one side, and it came l'idei gemira without anyone else getting involved, only the side themselves involved, it could be that he's entitled to the whole amount, even though all he said was go ahead and give this idea. Now, if you remember the case we discussed 2 weeks ago, where the zocher was given an idea of a shidduch, and he went and decided, he read the chacham, and he went to decide to impersonate the yeshiva, and he acted on behalf that he was the actual shatzim. So in that case, I saw from the Kizobah that he handles the shayla, that maybe in that case there was no one else involved in the shidduch. So the friend who ran originally and read the shidduch, maybe he should be entitled to all shatzimah. And so there's no one else involved in going ahead and doing the shidduch. So he wants to say like this, to show you how in each case is complicated. On the boy's side, where he read the shidduch, and the chacham himself sort of took over and was able to bring, use the idea with the gemira without anyone else being involved, he says that the chayyim should be entitled, according to the shidduch, to hold that a maskil without a grain is entitled to hold a promise, and the boy's side should have to pay this maskil the full amount, as if he bought the shidduch with the gemira, and should have to pay him the entire amount of shidduch. On the girl's side, he says, maybe not. Although no one else was involved besides sort of the buffer and the fact who gave the idea, but he said really they needed someone else. They couldn't have done it themselves. Now, rather the boy impersonated them there, and by Tzorachim, it was a case that the girl side would have to pay the whole amount for an average. Again, the idea I was trying to bring out is sometimes you have a maskil without agreement. And there, there's a machlokes that plays to Mashur, if you have time, we'll get into more. But what happens when you have a starter without a gamer, he's entitled to the whole amount. And vice versa, you have the same exact driver. What happens when you have a gamer without a maskil? You have someone who, and I'll give you also a developing story, so we're going to tell you about this. There was a case, and it probably only happened at the show, not so common in America, but there typically when they go out, they don't go out from the boys, from the girl's house, because when you live in a apartment building with multiple people, it wouldn't be exactly the most easy thing to just go out from the house. So they do typically is they meet in a hotel. The boy and girl go separately, they go to the hotel and they meet. He has a video of a story where there was 2 days supposedly going on in the same hotel. And the boy went to the wrong girl and each one for date. And Baruch Hashem, it seemed to, at one point in the conversation, one of them realized, you know, it didn't necessarily that person thing from the friends that she was mentioning and the cousin, she's a cousin to this one, and somehow it did that. But like the date sort of seemed to work after frantic phone calls without researching, they decided, you know what, the boy likes this, they like this girl, they decided to go out. So here you have a case where there is no maskil, and if a shatan would then get involved, and it would be a gamer, he'd finish it all without a maskil, would he be entitled to get the whole amount of shatanas or not? Now the first person who read the shidduch that caused this mix-up, but he's not a shatan, because he was trying to do our tava to person A, and ended up doing our tava to person B. So he's not based on what he said now. And there's another person, he wouldn't be entitled to shatanas. But it could be that the person who takes it over from that point is a claimer without a mask. So in that case, he'd be entitled to get the full amount of shatanas. We'll see if there's actually a mafoikas. What happens when you have a gamer without a maskil, how much of a percentage of taking a typical case would be where your parents thought of the idea and they gave it to a shatan. That's a typical case where you have it. And in fact, now, like I said, if a parent go over to a shatan and ask him to read it, the shatan is not entitled to the full amount of payment because there's a maskil. The maskil sort of is a think of the idea, although the job that he did was only a gamer did a job, so they're not necessarily entitled to get the whole amount of shatan. Okay, so basically what you have to deal with is now there's a concept of a maskil and tzoy in agreement. I'll take one by one and try to understand, being in all the shadows which you discussed, as to how much is each one entitled to, how much is a maskil entitled to. Now again, as we mentioned before, a maskil, hayoyin, pashtus, is just going ahead and to give the name. Now, if a person gives the name, and the second person is needed in order for them to get the yes. Here we have Machlokes in the Gedolei HaFreinim as to what that was. In the Shabbat Shuvah Shad Yaakov, which is brought down in the Shuvah over here, the Shuvah discusses, what happens when you have someone read the case of the Shad Yaakov, like this. Someone goes ahead and read the Shuvah to to a girl, she went to her father. The father says, you know what, this shidduch is not for me, it's not enough for the benefit. That's the case of the Shadyak. The second chaplain, who did not know that the first shidduch was read at all, approaches the father, gets the same answer. This boy is not for me, he's not a not enough for the benefit. I'm looking for someone better, someone different for my daughter. He doesn't want to pursue the shidduch. The second one wasn't someone who took no that easily, was a real chaplain. And he goes ahead, they kept him pestering him, calling him. He called the girl's father, the grandfather, to get him out of here. And ultimately, he got them to say yes. And the challenge of the Shev Yaakov was whether or not chapter number one is entitled to any portion of the Shadchan. He gave the idea. He was told that they're looking more for them to it. Well, nice, ultimately, his idea that he gave came to fruition. He ended up getting engaged. And that chapter number one is claiming that he wants the chalak of the Shadchan. This is almost a case that happens very, very often. Nothing. No. No, that's okay. But sorry, because I don't really need to wash him, so it's not debate him, or even if it's the Shiva, but it's not what the Shadiach says in the porch. If I go in the Torah and ask my Moshe Shiva, they didn't know about the Shiva from the first person. Now the Shadiach does read that the reason why they know that, the reason why he decided to pursue the Shiva was, he heard the first person's Yeretz, and he liked the idea. And he just, even though the first person got a no, but because you thought of the first, no, chapter number one thought of the idea, chapter number two acted upon that idea, then he's a different child, and then he says that chapter number two is not just the entire for the full service of the master, because he took the idea from chapter number one. But the case is, in a very military maximum leadership, he didn't know about the idea from chapter number one, they had the whole thought of the idea. The second was these items, very shy. They thought that the first one to read. And there's a put money towards him. Mirror, as the Jewish says, the right dilemma should make a gamping the person. She going to come up from Rochot, they're from a faraway place. I guess that would be indicative that they thought of it on their own because they didn't hear from him. There was no email, text, phone. So they thought of the idea on their own. But the Tshuva seems to be saying over here is that, and this is very common, what happens when there's a suffix, that the Tshuva throws in a line, should nick it on the Bezdin. It has to be nicked to Bezdin, and it didn't come as a result of the first one. Well, it's very important to go to what happens when there's a suffix, which we'll get back to in a minute. And Kaina Maskali also shum to Ula Tzeva with them. If the second one came on their own, the first person didn't have a role in getting the Shiva completed. First of all, they didn't look to the other. When he came, he was told they were looking for more of an interior. The Lulish Shiva Chayrin, when he started off, it would stay quiet. That if the first person who got the Shiva, although he's the one, the first person who gave the idea, did not play a role in ultimately getting a yes from that side, he's not considered a shot. The Shiva of the Shiva Yaakov is, in order to be considered a master, you have to do one of two things. Either it has to be your idea which someone else acted upon. The chapter number two took it from chapter number one. If chapter number two came on his own and decided to read the shidduch, not knowing that chapter number one read the shidduch, and if chapter number one would have stayed in that situation, wouldn't have the parents not have pursued the shidduch, it was only chapter number two's information or persistence which caused the shidduch to go ahead and to happen. So that's the Yaakov, chapter number two gets the entire amount of shachronet, and chapter number one gets nothing. Now, could be that some people say you get a gift, maybe with. The Shev Yaakov says that chapter number one is not entitled to get anything. This is Chachmas Shlomo, so maybe you should get Chav Tzidcha, maybe that, but the Dinah Shachron is not entitled to anything. The tutor, Rabbi Dibi Tzava, the son of the Kodim Hassan, from the earlier quote to Shev Yaakov, seems to argue. He seems to say that even if he didn't calmly say anything, he's still not entitled to. And I saw the testimony in the Dai from the Rabbi Chuzo like this as well, that the Rabbi Chuzo seems to say that even if he didn't, he wasn't the catalyst, didn't have an impact really so much on the shidduch, since he's the first one to go ahead and forget it, that's enough of him to tie up his honor. The passage from Avoto, what it seems to me, from those who come out with the first game, seems to pass him by the Shev Yaakov, and if the first basket, although he's the first one to go ahead and forgive the name, if he didn't impact the shidduch, he's not entitled to go ahead and get shachronis to the truth of the Moshe, which is not dealing with a shachron in marriage, but dealing with a case where someone showed someone an apartment, a house that's for sale, and there's some reason they couldn't come to, the price wasn't right, and the deal falls apart. A few months later, this person sees an ad in the paper, that house is for sale. And he goes ahead and goes and buys the house, he sees the house for sale, the price has gone down, he goes ahead and is interested in buying the house, and buys that house. So Moshe says like this, if the person
only move out the house because of the first broker. So and it's not even tough to find. So this person looks through the advertisements anyway. And it's clear that he would have seen his advertisement, he would have had an interest in the fact in the house, irrelevant of the first broker showing in the house months ago, and the fact the first broker gets nothing based on the shit. Yeah, because Mike didn't impact the buying of the house, he showed it to him. The merchant saying, even though he showed it to him, but the person would have been happy with it had the person not come, the merchant taking it a step further. He says, if the person, sort of, can't say, didn't play a role, but I would have had that, no, I would have gotten like that anyway, for sure, then he's not entitled to any shatron. I think the call with these things, again, is no set in stone, but with Moshe Sternberg, and from the Mount Hermes, but he writes over there like this. So if a first person reads the Shidduch, and a second person goes and, okay, the second person goes and reads it, and then they say yes. He says like this, Tom. In Dokas Arishtin, if he tells the first person he's not interested at all, he tells him, this is not for me, I'm not interested, don't come back to me, it's not for me. Then he says the second person is entitled to all Shachronis. But if he tells him, listen, you know, I'm going to think about it, not just to tell him what the phone is like, but it's really something that he's still considering, but right now it's not for him. Sometimes people have multiple Shidduch of that, and right now he's not interested in pursuing this Shidduch. Not that he thinks that his idea is not a good idea for the idea, but right now he's not interested in pursuing it. He didn't close the door on it completely. So if he closed this, based on the first shot, then the answer was a resounding no, and it was basically shot, and the first person sort of reopened the whole process and reopened the door, then the second shot then is entitled to go ahead and to get that product. But if the was somewhat open, and it's not something that he was pursuing now, but the idea was something that was stuck in his head to the point that if it's going to come up later, he's going to pursue it sort of based on the fact that it's already told to him, and he never originally said no. In such a case, it could be that it would be a maskil, to be considered at least a partial maskil, and be able to at least share the chelik hakhala, because he is somewhat involved in the start getting a yes. Okay, we only got to the first person so far, but we have another 10 to go. Okay, so we'll have to be mashal nefesh next week, but at least let's go back to the first side. The first side is that for someone to be considered a mashal, and in order to claim that he is a mashal, he has to, according to the Shadiach, against the Choyches, the Pashal of Ocha Rekhid, he has to actually impact the Shidduch. If the person had no impact whatsoever on the Shidduch, then he has no, sorry, not entitled to any chelik of a mashal, and Mr. Shem will be mashal and the other 10 people next week.
I had a guy who found a business opportunity and had this chip. The guy had a business opportunity to buy from an auction. The auction company has an exclusive for 4 months. So they didn't get the price that they wanted, so the deal is